We are helping people who are helping people, and we're helping them help them more. And that's what I really love about the association work and being inspired by the membership side of things.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. Today's episode is about the most important part of an association, its members. Mike Skatos, MBA and CAE, is the newly appointed CEO of the National Association of Professional Insurance Agents, PIA, and also an expert on this topic. Throughout his career, Mike has led successful marketing campaigns that drove an increase in both membership and engagement. Mike will talk to us about building a creative marketing strategy, as well as what makes a marketing campaign successful. He'll also share his thoughts on leadership, collaboration, and finding an organization's North Star. I'm excited to learn more, so let's get started. Well, hello, Mike, and welcome to the Association Advisor Podcast. I'm so excited to have you on this episode.
Thanks, Christine. I'm really excited to be part of it and looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, and you are in a brand new role, so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But, you know, where I really would like to start this session and let our listeners learn is a little bit more about you. So I learned recently that you have deep roots in the association space that go back to your father's generation, which is amazing. So tell us a little bit about that story and how that led you to becoming involved with associations.
Yes, my father, Don Skatos, was with the Airline Pilots Association, and he was there director of communications for years and then elevated up to their executive director. So I've known about this profession for my entire life. And he worked with GWSAE. He led GWSAE as their chairman of the board. And his theme throughout his tenure as the chairman was be the lead dog. And everyone always called him the lead dog. And his line was, you know, if you're not the lead dog, the scenery never changes. So he always wanted to be out in front. He wanted to be visionary and thinking about new things. And so I learned a lot from him.
I love that quote. If you're not the lead dog, the scenery never changes. That's so true. Well, so what I'd like, and thank you for sharing that. That's a really amazing background that you had that as part of your upbringing. And I'm sure you learned a lot from your father. But really, that brings me into the theme of the season, which is all about leadership. And with that motto, if you're not the lead dog, the scenery won't change. Talk about what lessons you've learned and what you might share about what you've learned in working with leadership or in a leadership role with associations.
Well, when I was thinking about this, Christine, I would like to ask you to think about someone who you know who's a great leader. And the listeners to think about someone who they know who is a great leader. And then think about how that person made you feel. Come up with a word or two about what it was that that person made you feel when you were working with them. And I'll get back to that in a second. But I was recently in a session that was led by Tabitha Montgomery, who is a nonprofit executive director in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And she asked a full room of other executive directors this exact question. And people said their favorite leader made them feel inspired.
That's the word that came to mind for me, actually, Mike. I'm so glad you said that. And inspired is so important as a leader. If you cannot inspire your team and your organization, it's really hard to get stuff done.
Absolutely. I'm so happy you said that. What else, Christine, did you think of? Inspired? Anything else?
Yeah, a couple things. One is empowered.
Empowered's a great
empowered idea. And freedom to operate, right? Because if you don't allow your team's freedom to operate, then you're never going to get innovation, transformation, or the true growth mindset, right? If you're controlling every single thing that they're doing.
And that's so important for people who are working on teams to feel like they have the ability to go out and try new things and lead themselves, which is so very important. And then the rest of the comments around the room, and this was about 100 people, there was visionary and there was caring and brave and ethical and smart and all of these really positive words. My word was future focused, because that's how I like to think. And one of the things that she pointed out to all of us was that with a 5-minute conversation, not one person said, they lead me. And I thought that was so powerful. I thought it was so interesting that leadership is so much more than the leading. It's all of those different aspects that help you connect. And so now I'm thinking about my leadership style. As I mentioned, that future focused leader, that's what I'm looking at. How can I be that supportive leader? How can I be a leader with high integrity? And those pieces of the leadership. So I hope when people are listening today, they're looking at it through that lens and thinking about those different aspects of leadership that fit into their leadership style and the different topics that we're going to be digging into.
Yeah, Mike, and I think to that end, there's another important aspect that I've learned throughout my leadership journey. I've been a leader at many organizations over the past 2 decades, I hate to say. And what is important is that your leadership style is adaptive to the environment you're leading at the time. Because what works in one organization, based on that organization's particular time or what they're dealing with at that moment, may not apply to the next leadership role. So one thing I learned from a really good leader is lean into the organization you're in with both your leadership and your style of leadership. So I think that's great. So thanks for sharing that. That was a really powerful way to address it by asking the question of what I thought of or what others think of from leaders and the feelings that they left with them. But so let's talk about some of your other experience. You've been director of memberships for multiple organizations, including the American Institute of Architects, which you just came from, and the American Speech Language Hearing Association. Tell us what your favorite part about working so closely with association members is.
The members themselves, the people, getting into their amazing lives and seeing their passion around what they do. And you know this, Christine, the people who are out there care so much about what they do. It's inspiring to see what they're doing in their work and how they're caring for other people. And I've been in a number of roles where I've seen that. I've seen working with the American Speech Language Hearing Association. Speech language pathologists are helping people to speak, and they care so much about those individuals that they're helping. The audiologists in that same organization are helping people hear, and they care about it. It's important to them. The architects coming from American Institute of Architects, they're designing equitable spaces and sustainable spaces to help make people's lives better. And it's a passion for them. They knew that they wanted to do that from being little children, that they wanted to design these spaces to help people. And now in my role as a CEO over at the National Association of Professional Insurance Agents, working with insurance agents, and those individuals are helping people in really the worst moment of their lives and helping them through it. Yeah. And that is what inspires me about the members and what gets me excited about working for them. In associations, we are helping people who are helping people, and we're helping them help them more. And that's what I really love about the association work and being inspired by the membership side of things.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, the whole people and passion, those are two really strong words that stitch together that really do make up what a member is and what membership is comprised of. And speaking of membership, so at the heart of every single association out there, it's membership and membership growth. Talk about why that growth of membership is so important for the long-term health of the association. And then some of the driving factors that you've seen or tactics work to grow an association's membership over time.
I agree with you. Membership is the lifeblood of the organizations. And gone are the days when an individual is going to join a membership organization because it's what they're supposed to do. They're still going to hear from other colleagues, you should join this organization, and they're going to listen. So don't mistake what I'm saying here. they're just going to be demanding value, and they aren't going to come to be just part of an association. They need to see a real return on their investment. So as an organization, we need to make sure we've got a very clearly defined value proposition. And that comes from understanding the members, connecting with them about the right program or service to meet their needs, what they're caring about. And if we don't have that program, developing it and putting it in play to the point where you said you have to be adaptive and willing to change, we as leaders, when we're delivering on that value, may need to pivot and create something new. And that's a really important piece too. And then we've got the value. We need to communicate about it in a way that is going to resonate with the members. And they're going to be able to hear it. And the potential members, they're going to be able to hear it and see it and feel it and imagine themselves as part of that organization. So to get a little bit more into that, you know, we are there to serve those members. And the tactics really, I think, are having the entire team involved. The membership team is focused on renewing and recruiting those members. But everyone plays a role in that. Membership teams are doing amazing work selling all of the programs and products and services that other departments and other colleagues are creating. And members are never saying to me, I'm joining to be a member. They never say that. We're selling the membership, but they're becoming a member to get that industry knowledge. They're becoming a member to get that advocacy. They're getting that membership to become part of a community. And being able to talk about those benefits and bring the whole organization together to push that is really the value of holistic membership organization.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, I think about value in two ways when it comes to membership. It's value, you're right, for what they're getting for the investment of the membership. So that ROI, as humans, as people, as consumers, we've become much more demanding of that. But value in terms of your value systems as an individual is, does the membership's values align with your professional values as an individual member? And then I think the other thing that I feel is so important for associations is the advocacy piece of it, because you're right. Most people join an association for value, to be part of community, but for advocacy for the profession that they're in, whether it's insurance professionals, healthcare professionals, you know, there's many, many associations, the list goes on and on, but really it's about the advocacy component as well. So I think that's great. So thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure. I agree with you on what you're saying with that. Does it connect with my values? Is it important to me as an individual? And right. With AIA, we saw the members really cared about sustainability. They wanted to know that we were working hard to push sustainability in the world and in the design of new buildings. There's a lot of pollution that comes from buildings, and you can make those buildings carbon neutral, but it needs to be done intentionally. And the new members really were passionate about, how is AIA doing that? How does it fit into my personal ethics in terms of what I want to see? And when we were able to communicate that, those new members really rallied around that. We showed them the value they wanted, and we got a lot of new members through it.
And, you know, Mike, you touch on a really good point, because an association's communication strategy is so important to membership retention. So we are so aligned on that. Speaking of communications, campaigns, et cetera, as both a CEO and a creative person, you're tasked with taking the idea from concept to creation. And the processes can have a lot of unknowns. So what insights would you like to share that you've gained in leading a team that's nimble and able to pivot? We talked about change quickly and as needed based on the situation of your current association.
Yeah, pivoting is becoming our theme here, Christine. But yeah. I think that's an important piece to be looking at. When you're creating those teams, that you want them to be nimble and you want them to be able to identify what's important, we're all looking and scanning constantly. It's very easy to move off into a different direction and see that new opportunity and run after it. So for me, with those high performing teams, the main thing is having that North Star, saying this is where we're going, and having everyone agree to that. So while we're moving and looking at all those other opportunities and seeing other things that we could be accomplishing, and teams are getting pulled in different directions just from the work that's happening in the office and from hearing from the members and all of the things that we deal with, we can bring it all back together by saying, okay, but here's still our North Star. This is where we're going. And we've all agreed to this. This is the plan. And if you've established that right process for working together, knowing who is the point of contact with different teams, developing the strategies that you're working towards in partnership, having the right meeting cadences so you're consistently touching base, that's all really important. Having the right people involved in those teams, it's an easy thing to say and not always an easy thing to do, but getting those right people around the table and sometimes helping the wrong people who are at the table to move on to the next thing. That's an important piece, having the right team.
Yeah. And you know, you have the team, you've defined the North Star, you created your communication strategy. Tell us specifically, what are some of the elements of implementation that are important or critical to the success of your communications program?
Well, the communications, we need them to be open, honest. As a team, we want to be connecting as humans. You know, I use humor a lot to bring people together, but you need to connect with people individually. And having that sense of respect as a team to help everybody really connect. And once you've got that team there, you get into those basics, you know, the elements of communications, which are your audience, your message, and your channel, and you dig into those. So with the audience right now, I think as associations, we're better informed than ever before. We have more data than ever before on our members. And being able to dig into that, segment who the members are, understand what's important to an individual. We're not to the point where we're Amazon and we can identify exactly what type of shoe somebody wants to buy because we know, but we're getting there and we're able to put people into groups and say, this person does care. They care about flood insurance. This person cares about crop insurance. This person cares more about running an organization and being able to communicate with them about things that are really important. So it's understanding them, digging into them and defining those segments of your membership. That next piece, the message that I was getting to, crafting that right message and knowing what you want to say. And then what we've found is very valuable is having the members say it for us. So with testimonials or with video, getting them to tell us what they care about. And you can't create a video just by saying, go ahead and talk for 5 minutes and hoping they're going to say the right thing. Because they care about the organization. They know what they care about. They're very smart and they're not going to give you the right message in a video like that. So being able to work with them and ask the right question, a prompting question over and over again. You told me you care about advocacy, like you were mentioning before. Why? It's like, well, it's really important to go up on Federal Hill. Right. Why? Because we can't affect change if we don't do that. Why? Well, because if I don't do that, I can't go help someone who just lost their home with a check so that I can help them say, change their lives. And that progression makes it so much more impactful. And I can say it and it sounds good, but if a member is saying that and you can see the passion come through on their face and in their voice when they're recording that video, that's when you've really created an impactful message that you can then frame to send out to the members. And you frame it with a quick introduction, close it out with a CTA, a call to action, so that someone is now inspired by this individual. They get a call to action to explore a benefit that you have or join membership or become more involved with the advocacy team. And then they take that action. The additional piece there is understanding the right channel and getting that message to a person in a way where they would be able to interact. And is it on their mobile device? Is it through LinkedIn? Is it exploring TikTok or something that we're not doing right now? And I think that's the final thought on this is once you've got those pieces in place, lead. Don't just do what you've always done. Go find something that you've never done before. And the people on your team probably have thoughts on how to do that. TikTok is an example where people say, we don't want to be there, but a lot of our potential members may be there. So how do we communicate? How do we start using the different tools that are out there and the new sites that I've never heard of, but someone else may have heard to be able to really reach those new audiences?
Absolutely. And, Mike, we talk a lot about omnichannel on this podcast. Every executive director or CEO or marketing professional in serving the association space really talks about having an omnichannel strategy because you're right. Like, you have to meet the members where they are in terms of their preference for receiving information. And more importantly, the next generation consumes content very differently. And we have to embrace those new channels of communication, whether it be social media platforms or AI, but the landscape has changed when it comes to communication channels. So it's nice to hear you're embracing that as well. In terms of like inspiration for ideas, how have you gone about that in the past, and what do you plan to do in your new role as CEO?
To your last point, I love that omnichannel and being able to look across all those different platforms. I think that ties back to the respect we mentioned a little earlier, trusting those people to do amazing things, trusting your staff and the people that you're working with. And that's one of the areas where I'm looking for inspiration, is they're working in it all the time. So how can you connect with the staff? How can you get their ideas? I think that's really important. Also, I'm looking everywhere else for that inspiration too. I'm reading when I'm out buying something online. I'm thinking about how the member might have a similar experience, whether it's good or bad. When I'm watching TV and seeing different ideas pop up, or just having conversations like this with smart people in the association profession. So that's where I'm looking. And I think at the end of the day, hearing all of that and getting all my thoughts and then chatting about it with the members and seeing what they think, because they've got their ideas too. And as we were discussing earlier, that's where it all begins and ends for an organization. That member feedback is so important. And I know I've come up with a lot of ideas that when I share them with the members, sometimes they go, that would be amazing. And sometimes they look at me like I have two heads and they don't understand what I'm saying. And I think it would be so exciting, but it doesn't resonate with them at all. So it's finding that response from the member. And all of it kind of ties into engagement and experience. I mentioned with AIA that member experience was really what our North Star was, where we were focused. And when a member comes to interact with the organization, they're having some kind of engagement. They're getting involved with the advocacy. They're signing up to go to a conference. They're going to access some knowledge resource. And that leads to the experience. And they're going to have an experience whether we're intentional about it or not. And if we are intentional and we are thinking about it in the way of what are the opportunities? How did I have an experience online and how would I have made it better? And we're really thinking through that member experience, that MX, then I think we can provide a lot more value in how we're delivering on those new ideas. And that positive experience leads back to the engagement. And they'll have more engagements and more experiences. And it just keeps circling as long as there's a lot of value for them involved in that.
Yeah, one thing I really want to pick up on that you said is around getting inspiration from outside the sources as well. Because what I have found over time as a leader, that if you only get your inspiration from the industry or the company or the people you're with at the time, you're very much limiting your influence. And the wider we make our sphere of influence and networking and idea thinking, I think it becomes much more valuable and provides for really just creative new ideas that come from, someplace you might not have thought of naturally. So I love that you shared that point, because I agree with that. Now, Mike, this is a good segue. So you're 7 days into your new role as CEO of the National Association of Professional Insurance Agents, which is a mouthful. So in that, let's talk about goal setting, right? I'm sure one of the first things that you need to do is really think about the goals for what's to come in this next year strategically and from a tactics and strategic standpoint. So tell us about why this is so important and how you might be approaching it in this new role.
That's a great question, Christine.
Yeah,
And
I don't want to put you on the spot. You can say it's too early, but
I'm thinking about it. And right now I'm really listening and learning the organization and trying to lead through that future-focused leadership. I'm looking into the future and have been having conversations with the board about what's important, been meeting with the different affiliate executive directors for all of our chapters around the United States, and really trying to understand what it is that makes PIA a special place and what the members really value in it. And so right now I'm looking for that North Star. What is that North Star that we are going to say, this is our strategy, this is the strategic plan that we are going to follow. And that's going to take a little bit of work, but I'm excited about crafting that plan with everybody. But once we've got that, prioritizing that work and being able to say, this is what's most important in our strategic plan, the ability to, I believe, promote our certification, the Certified Professional Insurance Agent designation, and being able to push that out, being able to have that value proposition that we talked about, and establishing one that we can use with our national organization and with all of the components, and finding the right message that we all agree on that we can use together, and becoming a little bit more aligned with all of those different affiliate organizations that are out there so that we are all marching in the same direction. And we'll have different work that we're doing on a lot of different things, but how can we all agree on that same North Star on how we are going to serve the members? And then making sure that once we've prioritized that work, the staff know it. We've identified with them as well what we're going to do. We put that work in play. We're budgeting to that work to make sure that we've got the right resources in place to be able to move forward that strategy to better serve the members. So that's what we're looking at right now. And we're looking at doing it together as a large group.
I love that what you just outlined. What I really like is where you started, which is about listening. Oftentimes, when a leader gets into a new role, they're so focused on wanting to bring change or making their imprint. And taking the time to listen is such an important step to take in listening to your team, your employees, your customers, people outside, even your competitive set, because approaching your goals and your ambition and your path to success can be so much more beneficial when you take the time to listen and implement what you've heard into your goals and plan and strategy. So I love that you said that, and that's how you started this conversation. I have no doubt it's going to be a successful journey for you. And again, I want to congratulate you on this new role. It's a big step in your career. You are going to be extremely successful by drawing on all the experiences you outlined in this. And one of the things we always ask, Mike, for our guests, and we've built an amazing reading list, is throughout your journey, I'm sure you've read lots of great books. So what would you like to share with our listeners that you recommend for them to read?
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate the kind words, and I'm excited about the opportunity here with PIA and being able to work with these amazing members and helping them help people. The book I was thinking about, I thought of a number of different books, but when looking at different leadership styles, The 48 Laws of Power
Oh, I like
by
that.
Robert Greene, I think is a really interesting read. And, if you like history and hearing about what has worked in the past, that whole line about those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. It has 48 different laws. Some are really aspirational, like plan the ending. When I'm talking about being future focused, I'm looking at where are we going? What is the objective we're trying to accomplish? Some are chart your own course for a new leader coming into an organization, following a great leader. You need to find some new wins for yourself and not just follow what that individual had done. Not isolating yourself when things are challenging, because you can learn from the people that you might be isolating yourself from. So go out and learn from those other people. There's these little stories that are built into history, and some of them are funny, some of them are aspirational, some of them are brutal, like don't give up your advantage. And it shows families going to war and taking each other out. So it's just a really interesting read and a lot of different lessons for leaders where you can identify what type of leader you want to be, what those aspects of leadership might be, and then also some of the things you don't want to be, but that you're aware of and you can kind of protect against as you're running your organizations.
That sounds like an amazing book. I had not heard of that one before, but I'm going to add that. We have about 20 or so books now that have made it onto the list from guests like you. And it's the favorite part of my podcast is getting these and ordering the books and then reading them. So thank you for sharing that. And once again, congrats on your new role. We'll be excited to check in with you in 6 months to see how it's going. And I look forward to seeing you at the next industry event.
Christine, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this. I really enjoyed our conversation today, and I look forward to seeing you again soon, too.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at Christine, christine.shaw@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.